The next case to be heard this morning is number 2014-1669, Lund versus Lorain County Board of Revision. We will hear argument this morning from the appellant, the county appellants, presented by Mr. Kilroy.
Good morning. I'm Jack Kilroy, representing the Lorain County appellants, the county auditor and board of revision. In this case that involves the treatment of a recent post-foreclosure sale of a property purchased by Betty Lund, after the property had been taken back at foreclosure auction by the sheriff and then resold. The overall case law is, and statutory law is, that a recent sale, a recent arm's length sale of a property is equal to the market value for tax purposes. On the other hand, a forced sale does not equal market value for tax purposes, and examples have been bankruptcy sales and receivership sales, sheriff's auctions, and sales made under duress. But the Board of Tax Appeals has been taking it that if a sale has been demonstrated, then a presumption arises that that sale is arm's length. However, if any element of that sale is rebutted by the opponent of a sale, the burden should shift back to the proponent to show that nonetheless the sale's arm's length. In the Lund case, there was a Board of Revision hearing in which the property owner and counsel for property owner Rami Awadalla did not appear at the hearing. There were some documents submitted purportedly in support of the sale. There was a conveyance fee statement, a copy of a conveyance fee statement that did not include the correct name of the grantor on that statement. It listed the U.S. Bank as trustee, but not the true owner, the First Franklin Mortgage Loan Trust, 2006 FF10. The signature is illegible, and it does not show who paid the conveyance fee. There was a HUD 1 settlement statement, unsigned, with pages missing. There was one page of a multiple-page deed, not signed, which recites consideration of $10. That document is the only document that listed the proper name of the owner.
Could we go back to the conveyance fee statement? What's on the conveyance fee
statement? The conveyance fee statement shows that the seller as U.S. Bank, but actually U.S. Bank was the trustee for First Franklin Mortgage Loan Trust, 2006 FF10, which was a securitized mortgage instrument.
And is there a sale amount on that conveyance fee statement?
There is, $22,000.
Okay. Now, is that what the BTA followed or adopted?
That's what the BTA followed.
Okay. is there any indication, sometimes there is, on the conveyance fee statement itself about whether or not the sale was regarded as being at arm's length?
The conveyance fee statement wouldn't show that
there's
one way or another.
Okay.
There's also an unsigned purchase agreement that does not identify the seller and has five of its six pages missing. All this evidence was unauthenticated because nobody appeared at the Board of Revision to say what these documents were or to ask questions. And I would suggest that the low quality of these documents, missing pages, incorrect stating of the seller's name, raises the issue that somebody should be there to authenticate the documents and answer questions about them. That didn't happen at the Board of Revision. It didn't happen at the Board of Tax Appeals. So the Board of Revision in this case ruled that the evidence was insufficient. They did not dismiss for failure to prosecute. They looked at the evidence, ruled that it was insufficient. It was appealed to the Board of Tax Appeals. Again, the proponent of the sale didn't appear, yet the Board of Tax Appeals did their job for them and looked at this evidence and somehow ruled that it was sufficient, even though the Lorain County parties presented rebuttal evidence at the Board of Tax Appeals. In the form of expert testimony by Dr. Paul Bellamy, who testified that at the time of the sale, the First Federal Mortgage Loan Trust had lost an estimated $480 million, or 49% of its total value. That he testified to the extreme financial hardship that would that would create financial distress sufficient to negate the arm's-length character of the sale. As first, in light of that loss of $480 million, First Federal Mortgage Loan Trust could not act as a typical or willing seller. Dr. Bellamy demonstrated, and documents demonstrated, that First Federal Mortgage Loan Trust had the status of a REMIC, a real estate mortgage investment conduit, which can only hold mortgages and cannot own property. The only instance where it can own property itself is in the event of a mortgage foreclosure, where because of a default, it's forced to take title. Upon taking title, a real estate investment mortgage conduit is prohibited from actively managing the property and is prohibited from owning the property long term. So the options available to a typical seller do not exist for a REMIC, and did not exist for this particular seller. Violating those terms, taking part in active management or holding long term, would cause the special tax status to be taken away by the Internal Revenue Service, and it would incur severe tax penalties because of that. So they had no choice but to dump the property. So
you're saying that at the Board of Tax Appeals, the county presented evidence showing that this was not a typical voluntary type of sale.
Exactly. We presented documentary evidence as well as witness testimony. The other side presented no evidence. And the Olentangy versus Local Schools, 141 Ohio State 243-214, 2014, held that when a presumed arm's-length character of a sale is refuted through rebuttal evidence, the proponent of the sale bears the burden to prove that the sale nevertheless is an arm's-length transaction between typically motivated parties. That didn't happen. We showed that the trust that held these mortgages was not typically motivated. There was no rebuttal of that. The Board of Tax Appeals made it analogous to a sale by a lender in its decision. We believe it's more analogous to a sale by HUD, which the Supreme Court has held is typically not an arm's length transaction. But a mortgage portfolio under a REMIC statute is not only not a lender, it's prohibited. It has no money to make loans. It's prohibited from making loans. It doesn't make loans. It has no loan officers. So the analogy to a lender was totally off point by the Board of Tax Appeals. In the Lund case, the sale should be considered analogous to HUD because the seller was not typically motivated and could not be typically motivated. It wasn't set up to own property. It wasn't allowed to own property. It couldn't actively manage property. And so when the BTA second-guessed the Board of Revision in weighing the evidence and then totally disregarded the rebuttal evidence. It acknowledges that rebuttal evidence was presented, but didn't weigh that evidence. It didn't say the evidence wasn't credible. It didn't say the evidence was insufficient. It just noted that evidence was presented and went with the sale price, even though the proponent of the sale didn't respond in any way, shape, or form to the rebuttal evidence that was presented. So that's essentially the case.
Okay. Mr. Kilroy, if you have nothing further?
Nothing further.
Okay. This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.